Good morning. Our watchword this week comes from John 10th chapter, verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Let us ponder that as we hear this morning's prelude. I invite you to stand and pray with me responsively the call to worship. By what do we serve others and seek repentance? By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus was arrested, tortured, and crucified, and God raised him from the dead to transform us and the world. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. We find our salvation in the precious name of Jesus. For there is no other name given by heaven for us to be saved. As we remain standing, I invite you to join me in singing, "Jesus Makes My Heart Rejoice."
Thank you. Amen. Please be seated. Well, friends, good morning and welcome to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church. We're still in our season of Easter, that series of Sundays after the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the grave. And as such, this Sunday, we continue to reflect and give thanks for him being raised to transform us and the world into something resembling the kingdom of God. Friends, before we continue the service this morning, I do have some announcements to share with you. Today after worship, there's a women's fellowship meeting in the fellowship building. The next Sunday in the office building, the membership committee will meet after worship. And then two Sundays from today on May 5th, the CE committee will meet after worship in the office building. So with this stretch of meetings coming up, I ask that you be in prayer for them, for the committee members, for the work, the ideas that will result from them. Friends, during the recent stretch of time after Holy Week and Easter, if you've accidentally taken home any blue communion booklets or Holy Week readings booklets, we ask that you return those to the resource room as soon as you can. Then, friends, I do have a praise to give this morning. We give God thanks that Sister Aileen Crater will return to her regular room at Homestead Hills Memory Care this coming Tuesday. So we give thanks to God for this news. And please also still keep Aileen and Robbie and all of those that care for them in your prayers as well. And, friends, we'll continue our service today off of that good news by praying a responsive reading together this morning. It'll begin on page 37. We'll be doing discipleship. So if you're able, please stand. Brother Matt Pace will lead us. Let's pray that liturgy to the Lord this morning.
What shall we render to the Lord for all his bounty to us? We will offer to the Lord the sacrifices of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Gracious God, for revealing yourself to us as one who created all things, who gave us dominion over all the earth, who called us into a covenant relationship with you, who has given us the privilege of being your ambassadors in our world, who loves us as your children through Jesus Christ our Lord, we give you our heartfelt thanks. Jesus Christ, our Savior, because you're willing to come to earth in the likeness of humanity, to take the form of a servant, because you become obedient unto death, even death on a cross, because God has highly exalted you and bestowed on you the name which is above every name, that at your name every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We humbly bow before you in praise and adoration. Holy Spirit, for dwelling within us and calling us to God by the gospel, for preserving us in the true faith, for leading the church on earth in its mission, for pointing the way of discipleship to each of us, we acknowledge your presence and power among us. Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." We hear your call to discipleship. Master, teach us the way we should go. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain."
Thank you.
confess, Lord, that as your disciples, we've often dishonored the holy name we bear. We ask your forgiveness for the times when we have failed to labor for your kingdom, when we have not followed your admonition to seek first the kingdom of God, when we have hidden our light from the world, when we, as the salt of the earth, have lost our strength. Have mercy on us, and restore unto us the joy of faithful discipleship. Amen. The Lord your Redeemer has said, with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you. Therefore, serve the Lord with gladness, witness to his goodness and mercy, and preach Jesus Christ as Lord, with yourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. Let's stand. Scripture text today comes a very familiar one from the book of Psalms, the 23rd chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of God for the people of God.
Will you all join me in prayer? Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now. God, our hearts truly leap with joy at the prospect of you being our shepherd, of following your lead, of obeying your call for us. And gracious God, just as a shepherd protects the sheep in a world full of predators and traps and dangers unforeseen, we ask you to take us under the security and safety of your cloak for comfort and protection. Let us be at peace in your presence. Let us feel the urge to lay what we have stirring within us at your feet and pass on our burdens to place on your shoulders, for your yoke is able to sustain them. Please be with us. Thank you for loving us. And walk side by side with us wherever we go. We pray this in the name of the Good Shepherd, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The ushers, please come forward.
My shepherd fills all.
Our second lesson today comes from 1 John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of God for the people of God. I invite you to stand and sing the next hymn, Savior, Like a Shepherd Lead Us, hymn 731.
Spirits live.
seated. Our sermon text today comes from the book of John, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of God for the people of God this day, and thanks be to God. Let us go to God in prayer. O God, we invite you to come and fill this place. Be still our hearts and minds, and help us to hear our shepherd's call. Allow it to take root, and send us your Holy Spirit to guide us into the fields that you have chosen for us to graze. May we be fed by your word, and may your love for us be multiplied and exemplified by us for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The theme for today's sermon and worship is quite clear. It is found all throughout today's hymns and liturgies and scriptures reading. It is Jesus' proclamation, I am the Good Shepherd. Jesus uses this example of leadership to describe the absolute trust and dependency of the sheep. He relates to his disciples, that is, to all of us, his love for us and his willingness to die for us. So we should love one another as he has loved us and put our absolute trust in him. Jesus uses this lesson because it is one that is easily understood. The people of that time and area, they knew all too well the role of a shepherd. Now, I do not know a whole lot about shepherding or sheep. I was raised in a different time and in a different place. I do, however, have family that does, and I do have some knowledge of it, but it seems that God gave me kids instead and grandkids, and while they're not sheep, they are animals. My grandmother on my dad's side of the family and her husband, they had a farm. My Uncle Gary still lives there to this day and continues to tend to the land as well as keeps chickens and a cow or two on hand for food. And I'll share with you now a couple of stories from my experiences there on the farm, one when I was just a youth and one when I was a dad and I took my children to the same farm. Somewhere back in my youth, between elementary school and middle school, my Granny Helen and my Papa Raymond, they bought a farm. And I forget how much it was originally, like 90, 95 acres, something like that. It was a huge farm. And I remember how Granny and Pawpaw worked so hard to get their crops to grow. It took several years to really get things going. And soon, they would add a couple of cows, a hog, and some chickens. And they were not commercial farmers by any means. They did this in their spare time, as if they had spare time, but they were farmers nonetheless. And as a child, I couldn't understand why in the world they wouldn't name their animals. They had two dogs. They had names, Sheba and Blue. Why would they not name their cow and their hog? So I asked Granny one day when I was there, I said, Granny, why don't you name your cows? She was like, you don't name food. And I just looked at her real puzzled because that just didn't make sense to me. She said, Matthew, they're not pets, they're food. And I said, but they gotta have a name. She says, well, if you insist, you call the cows T-bone and you call the hog bacon. And so I did. That's exactly what I did. And sure enough, a few months later, when I would go to the farm and yell, T-bone, the cows would come. Sure enough. Now, the hog was in a pen, so you didn't really have to call him. He couldn't go far because he had to be contained. The hog spent most of his life in that pen because, well, you know, a hog is destructive. They will eat every one of your plants and destroy your land. They will eat everything. But I got to where I loved feeding the hogs and the cows. Would take the slop bucket down there and dump it in the pen for the hog. And the cows, we would give them grain in their little feeding trough. And I especially liked going in the chicken coop to see if there were any eggs. One day when I went to the farm, I noticed Pawpaw wasn't in the house. And so I asked Granny where she was. And she looked at me with this weird smile and she said, well, he's down there with Bacon. So off I went down there. I was excited to see Bacon. I hadn't seen him in a couple of months. And when I got down to the pen, or at least I got close to the pen, I could hear absolute chaos coming from the pen. I thought Bacon was going to tear the darn pen down. And as I walked up, you know what they say? Timing is everything. Right when I walked up, Uncle Gary was pulling the rope and he had hung that hog up by his hind legs. And just like that, Pawpaw whooped out his blade and slit the throat of that hog. Horrified me. I had never seen so much blood. And the squealing of that pig, oh my goodness, it was awful. And from that day, I didn't trust Pawpaw very much for a while. It took me a long time to forgive him, if you will. And over the next few months, whenever we would go down there for lunch, Granny always made sure to ask me, how's T-bone taste? Good, ain't it? How about that bacon? She loved to give me a hard time about that. I would eventually understand, however, that every life has a purpose. And they raised cows and hogs and chickens for food. So it didn't bother my conscience as much as it used to. I learned to be okay with it. And actually, the truth be told, the meat was amazing. Nothing you can buy in a store today can compare to hand-grown cattle and hand-fed hogs. And the chickens, of course, are the same. And after I learned to accept their lifestyle, I began to learn more and more about tending the land and what it took. I began to love to go to the farm again, and I still do. Love that place. That place is magical. Many years later, I would get married, and soon Ashley would be born. And I took Jenny and Ashley down there occasionally soon after Ashley was born. She was just a baby, so she really doesn't remember. And Granny Helen really loved her great-grandchildren, and I forget how many grandkids and great-grandkids. She had a lot because she had 9 kids herself, and they all had kids, and then they all had kids, and so it was a big family. But soon after that, Granny Helen would get sick, and she would pass away. And without Granny there, well, I just quit going. As the years went by, out of the blue one day, Pawpaw called me. He wanted me to paint the new barn that he had just built. So I went down there and I did, and Pawpaw and I got closer than we had ever been in our whole lives. He had just recently been baptized in his 80s and began to hear the shepherd's call. A couple of years later, Pawpaw would get sick, And my Uncle Gary, he wanted to have one last family reunion for him. And since I had not taken my kids down to the farm in a really long time, in fact, Sarah had never been and Zachary had never been, I was excited to take them. This farm is in Trinity, so I had about 45 minutes or so ride to talk with the kids and tell them all about the farm when I grew up, and they were getting excited about being there, and I was excited to take them there because, well, they had never been to a real farm before. When we arrived, most of the family was there, and to say most of the family, I mean most of the kids and immediate family, so there was probably 40 or 50 people there. And my Uncle Gary was cooking hamburgers on the grill, and I was introducing the kids to the family, and we finally got out to where Uncle Gary was. Gary told my kids, "Now y'all get a burger now, don't be shy." And poor Sarah, she just said, "I don't eat beef." She was in middle school, you see, and they had just learned about processing cattle and things like that, and she just refused to eat it. There was no beef to be had. Well, Uncle Gary, without a hesitation, said, "Well, do you eat chicken?" And she said, "Yes, yes, I eat chicken." Gary, without missing a beat, said, "Well, pick one. They're running all around. I'll cook any part of it you want." And he was serious. And Sarah felt that same shock that I did as a child. One thing is for certain, you learn quickly on a farm that every life has a purpose. One of those days when I was there painting the barn, Pawpaw and I were talking about just that. We talked about this very scripture passage. We talked about life's purpose and how we were to live purposefully for Christ. And he told me on that day that his only regret that he had in life, that he did not find his Savior sooner. Wow. Then he blew me away by telling me how much my faith in Christ affected him and his ability to be who God was calling him to be. Blew me away. "My only regret is that I didn't accept my life's purpose sooner," he said. Jesus did know his purpose. He didn't run from it the way we do. Jesus embraced it. He laid it out for us in today's scripture. He says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus' purpose was to walk with us, to talk with us, to lead us, to guide us, ultimately to make a sacrifice for us. He would do exactly as he stated. He would lay down his life for the sheep. Well, the hired hand, he has purpose. The wolf, he has purpose. The sheep have purpose. And of course, the shepherd has purpose, and we have purpose. Our need for Christ must be our greatest accomplishment. Let me say that again, because that's important. Our need for Christ must be our greatest accomplishment. We must keep our ears open and attentively to hear the calling of our Savior. In a world full of distractions, we must intentfully listen and answer his call. Jesus set the example for us. Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Our purpose in this life is to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and simply to share it with others. Once we accept Christ in our lives, then our true purpose begins. Jesus became the Good Shepherd by first becoming a lamb. His role as our great shepherd began by being a sheep. Jesus lived with us, and he relied on his Father as the shepherd, and we rely on him. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one another. Jesus demonstrated that love for us. He loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. His life, death, and resurrection calls us to purpose. May we respond to our Savior's call by sharing that good news. May we always be ready to hear the shepherd's call. May we always be ready to tell others that our Lamb has conquered, and let us follow him. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing our closing hymn, hymn number 792, I Serve a Risen Savior.
Thank you.
May we go in peace, ready to hear our Savior's call and ready to answer his call and share the news. Amen.